So if you want to follow along with me, where we're going to begin is in Psalm 18, verses 1 through 7. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so I shall be saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me, the torrents of perdition assailed me, the cords of Sheol entangled me, and the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. And from his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked because he was angry. And then also, we want to read from the Gospel of Luke. And we'll be reading from Luke 19, verses 28 through 40. After he had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. We're speaking about Jesus here. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples saying, go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Just say this, the Lord needs it. So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They said, the Lord needs it. Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road, and he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives. The whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heavens. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, order your disciples to stop. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. Well, I'm going to start with a pop quiz. That should get your attention. It always got my attention in school when we had a pop quiz. Because I want to review. 2 weeks ago, if you were here, I spoke about praise and the need for praise in our lives, the benefits of praise, and three principles of praise. And I want you to try to wrestle some of that up in your memories. There were three benefits that we went over. The first one, number one, was intimacy. And I spoke about how taking time to simply express our love and our adoration of God, how it will propel us to deeper levels of intimacy. The second benefit was peace. Peace is a byproduct of that intimacy that we find in praise. We suddenly realize that we are in the hand of the living Lord and we feel his presence in our lives. So the storms of life, when they assail us, we weather them so much better, knowing that God is at our side, knowing that the Creator of the universe knows and cares about you and watches over you and is with you throughout those things. It brings you peace. And the third benefit that I mentioned was joy. I mentioned that as we praise God more and more, one of the things that you're going to find is that you look at the world through very different eyes. You regain a sense of the mystery of life that you had as a small child. And as I said a couple weeks ago, some things like a mud puddle or a stick or a stone or the moon happening to show up in the middle of the day, those little things that used to hold you spellbound and in awe as a child, once again, those things become amazing to you all over again. I have a whole stack of gravel at home on my dresser because I cannot get from my car to the entrance of a store without Matthew stopping and going, look at this pretty rock. And he'll pick up what's everybody else's a chunk of dirt that should have been swept off of the lot, probably. and maybe even cursed it earlier when they stepped on it. But he'll go, look at this beautiful rock, Daddy. Let's take it home. And I have to pocket it, you know. So at any given moment, I am likely to have a rock in my pocket. But it's that wonderful sense of awe that a child has. We regain that as we begin to praise God more. And those are three pretty amazing benefits that I think we all would like. Intimacy, joy, and peace. But you know, I shouldn't have stopped there because I made it sound too easy, I think, out of what I said 2 weeks ago. Praise will bring you back to that place of wonder, but it's not an easy overnight journey. I gave you some traveling tips before. I urged you to praise frequently, to praise corporately, and to praise musically. But I need to add to those travel tips this morning. Those will bring you a long way, but I think you're going to bump into some surprises pretty quickly on your journey. And let me start with a story that happened a week ago. I serve on the mission committee of our presbytery. I went up for a weekend meeting, stayed overnight, and this is a new committee if you didn't know it. In our presbytery, there's been a restructuring. And that's just something presbyteries have a wonderful time doing. It seems like they love it because they are always restructuring. And our presbytery is restructuring. And part of that is to blend together some committees. I was on the evangelism committee, and we used to have a committee called Witness. Well, evangelism and Witness have been merged together under mission. So we're all trying to kind of figure out who and what we are now as this new entity. So we planned an overnight retreat so we would have a lot of time to kind of envision what this new committee is going to look like and what it's going to do and what this year will be like. As we laid out the evening before all the things we needed to do in the next 24 hours or so, we realized that we had a lot of discerning and decision making to do. And I threw in at one point that I felt like that what we were doing was in fact a discerning process, and because of that, we really needed as a committee to take some serious time together in prayer. Not just our leader praying us into and out of the meeting, but we really as a group, with everyone participating, needed to pray about the things we were considering and ask for God's guidance and spend some time listening and trying to figure out what God wanted, a significant portion. And people were open to that, so I offered to lead it. The next morning, we got together, and that's how we began. One of the first things I did, and they didn't know this, I kind of set them up. I was using a model of prayer called ACTS, which some of you may have heard me mention, A-C-T-S. And if you can't remember this, and you go, what was that thing? You can always run up to the upper room because it covers one whole wall. But an ACTS prayer is simply adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Let me repeat those. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. I didn't tell them that's what we were doing. I just was going to verbally clue them in our prayer and use my own prayer to set the tone. So we started with adoration. And I knew I was with Presbyterians and I was probably on foreign ground as we started to praise God, because we just seemed to be a little uptight about that. So I shared some of my own prayers of praise, and then I said something like, Lord, listen now as we lift up to you our words of adoration and praise. And I shut up. Well, everyone began to participate. And I saw something happen that I've watched happen repeatedly, and it also happened to me when I first started trying to inundate my prayer with more praise. Immediately, people began to start entering into thanksgiving, thanking God for this and that, thanking God, I thank you, God, for this, I thank you, God, for that. They were good and important prayers, but it struck me, as it had struck me many other times before when I've done this with groups, that thanks and praise really are very different activities. And they are different activities that yield very different results in our relationship with God. That's an important statement right there, and I need to repeat it. Thanksgiving and praise are very different activities, and they will yield very different results in our relationship with God. Let me give you an example. Actually, I'll demonstrate it, and you all get to participate again. These are getting more and more participatory. 2 weeks ago, I made you pray for a minute. This time, you're going to have to use your imagination for a moment. And here's what I want you to do. I want us to close our eyes, and I'll do it too. And here's what I want you to imagine. Fix in your mind very clearly a person who is fairly close to you. It can be a spouse, it can be a brother or sister or parent or child. Fix that person in your mind for a moment, very vividly. Now, in your imagination, I want you to picture them looking you in the eye and saying to you, "I thank you." And maybe if it's helpful, they thank you for something specifically they've done recently, or you've done recently. So just imagine that interaction for a moment. Someone close to you saying, "I thank you." Now, as you're imagining that, I want you to note what that feels like, how it feels to be thanked. Now, don't open your eyes yet. We're going to switch scenarios. Now, I want you to picture that same person again. And this time, rather than saying, "I thank you," I want you to imagine that person looking you right in the eye and saying, "I love you." And just imagine that person looking you right in the eye and saying, "I love you." Now, how does that feel? Okay, you can go ahead and open your eyes. For most folks, I'm just curious, did that feel significantly different? Being thanked and being told, "I love you," they're very different activities. And what's true for us as people is true for us in our relationship with God. And when we say thanks to God, that's a very good thing, and we should do it. But it's very different than taking time out and saying, "God, I love you, and I adore you. You are wonderful to me." That's so different than simply thanking God for things going on in our life. And it is so easy not to notice that distinction. And what will happen is, if you get trapped in only thanksgiving and not really taking time to praise and adore God, you will kind of start bumping your head against a glass ceiling of intimacy with God. It will only take you so far. You know, most of us have been through dating relationships where early on you go out and you do things and you're constantly kind of thanking the other person. "Oh, I'm so glad we got together and we did this, and I'm so thankful we got to go to dinner." But there's something that happens when a relationship progresses to the point where someone says, "I love you." It sort of changes the whole rules of the game. Once somebody opens their mouth and they say those three simple words, "I love you," you're suddenly on very different turf. We need to do that with God. And that's what praise is about. It's taking time to simply adore and love God. Well, how do you do that? I mean, practically speaking, how do you do that? I've talked with people that I've tried to mentor in praising and doing adoration, and I've looked at my own growth in that. And I noticed one of the things that happens right off the bat for folks is they have a lack of words. If they try to praise God and not say thank you, I'm just going to do adoration right now. I'm going to hold off and do thanksgiving when I get to T and Acts. They're really stumbling and grasping for words. After about 30 seconds or a minute, they just don't know what to say. Well, I'm going to give you a recipe this morning for adoration. And it's a good, strong, biblical recipe. Here's number one, the first thing you put in your pot of praise. That is, start with the obvious. "I love you." Those are good things to say to God. "I love you." And I pull that up because that's exactly what David did today to start his psalm. If you go back to Psalm 18, the very first words out of David's mouth, and you got to remember, David was described as by God, a man after my own heart, his very first words are, I love you, O Lord. And then he comes to number two, and this is number two, your second element you put in your pot of praise. That is simply declaring all the things that God is to you. Declaring the things that God is to you. David does that. He goes on, he says, God, you are my strength. You're my salvation. You're my source of hope. You're the light for me in the darkness. You are gracious and holy, Lord. You are an awesome God. He says those sort of things. And we can do that. We just jump in with, you're my father, you're my friend. You're my source of comfort, my challenge. You're my greatest confidant. You're my most sincere love. We just list those things that God is to us, and we say them back to God so that God knows we feel that in us, and God knows we know that. And we just lift that up, a litany of the things that God is to us. Now, third element, and last one in your pot of praise, is recounting the deeds that God has done. It's another thing that David did a lot of all through the Psalms. He would simply recount what God has done over and over again. It happens all through the Old Testament, in fact. I went digging around through Psalms, and right in the Psalm 18 that we were reading from, if we were to jump down a few verses, we would find David doing this. Later on in that psalm, he says, He reached down from on high. He took me. He drew me out of mighty waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me.